This is Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the world famous Comedy Store. We are here recording another episode of the Comedy Store Wrestling Show. My name is Eddie Torres, and next to me, the illustrious inappropriate Earl Skakel.
53 years old, and I bring my dolls with me. This is Kamala, life size.
Life size. No legs?
No legs.
Oh, Earl, do we have a show for you today? We got Rocky Romero in the house. He's going to be our guest. But there's a lot of stuff going on in pro wrestling right now.
Busy week. A lot of some pay-per-view stuff, some defections, one not going in the way you think it would go. Usually it's WWE to AEW.
Yeah. We'll get into all of that. First, let's talk a little bit about the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view that passed. We'll breeze through this. I know last episode we went and deep dive into the predictions and everything, but it was kind of a shit show of a pay-per-view. I mean, there was a couple good spots, but overall, I mean, it went as expected, I think.
Well, the WWE, their creative juices, I think, are at an all-time low. So, like you said, it was just business as usual. You know, the best pay-per-views are everyone gives their predictions, and after it's you're wrong on 80% of them. This is, I think, most people predicted every single match.
Yeah.
And, you know, just some puzzling things that went on, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's see. At the very beginning of the show, we got Roman Reigns and Goldberg. Just get it out of the way. I'm sure Goldberg wanted to go home early. But, yeah, that's how the pay-per-view started.
Not really. I mean, just as a fan, I would think you'd put some high flyers up first, just get the room going. I mean, Goldberg at this point is what he is. And, you know, he was what he was 20 years ago. Power moves and not a lot of technical work. And now he's 20 years older. Mm. And he kind of looks it. He looks great still. But I don't know about you, but I get sad when I see, like, you know, when you look at the match he and Hogan had for the belt that first time at the Georgia Dome, and he's just muscles on top of muscles, and I know he's getting older,
jacked to the gills,
but yeah. Now he kind of looks a little bit like a deflated tire, like he's not quite as big, still in great shape. Yeah. Gray stubble.
Yeah, the blemishes on his skin is really what got me. He had that old man, like, you know, a couple white spots like on his legs and his arms, and I'm just like, oh god, it's getting a little long in the tooth for Goldberg. And he was bleeding before he came out, and not in the usual way, because he smashed his head. It was bleeding from the shoulder. It was really weird. And then bleeding in the, like, from shaving up here. I don't know.
It was like watching a porn star from the 70s try and do a porn in early 2000s. It was just like, oh man, I don't want this to be my memory of you. Like,
yeah.
But, you know.
Well, in that regard, he tweeted out that this might be his last appearance in the ring. His contract's up. He's a free agent now. He might not. He's probably not going to re-sign to do anything else. So,
well, I think Tony Khan's probably already made the call.
Oh, I'm sure. But Roman Reigns.
Uh-huh. Damon Wayans.
Roman Reigns went over with a guillotine choke, which I gotta say I'm glad happened. I was a little concerned that they would put Goldberg over. They've done it with fucking Bray Wyatt in the past, so I was like, yeah, he might do it as a swerve, but I'm glad it went over. And what a, you know, what a way to go out, the guillotine choke. It's like, I don't think Goldberg's ever been choked out like that.
I mean, that's a thing where it sounds like a guy who's on his way out and is retiring. Like, okay, you can beat me whatever way you want.
Yeah,
because I don't think you could bring him back because the shield has gone off. Or the armor has gone off the shield with a choke out like that. It's kind of hard to bring him back and say he's an ass kicker, but he got choked out by Roman the last match.
Yeah, and I think he lost his match before that.
Yeah, so he's clearly
he was fulfilling his contract, I think, because he had a contract for a number of matches, and I think this was the last one.
But it's sad that, you know, we all remember, or at least I'm 53, so I saw him in his prime, but now he's, I guess, reached the status of gatekeeper.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, he is, what is he? He's got to be close to 50.
He's in his 50s. Absolutely.
So, and Roman's a company guy, and he's not going anywhere, to my knowledge. So it makes, for once, the WWE, the outcome made sense.
Right, right. After that, we had the women's chamber match. Bianca won, which is the correct move, I think. She was the one that should have won. I don't think, however, you should have brought Alexa back just to eat a pin like that. They made all this racket, you know, weeks and weeks of her at in therapy, doing segments of her in therapy to have her come back and then eat a pin. It made no sense. She could have, you know, gotten eliminated another way. But, you know, either way, Bianca should have won that match, so it makes sense.
Bianca winning absolutely makes sense, but, like, Alexa to me now, and I'm not saying this because she was aligned with him, but she's kind of becoming a female Bray Wyatt. Like,
yeah.
Where they're, I'm sure they're not burying her on purpose, but, like, with each loss and each wacky character they give her, she's going down and down and down. And, you know, that's something that good writing could solve that with one pay-per-view. And I just don't think the WWE, they haven't had good writing for years. So
yeah.
I hope, because she's so great, and I just hope they can some way rehabilitate her character, because right now she's on the downward trajectory.
Yeah, at this rate, she's going to be, you know, the pre-show at WrestleMania day one or something, because there's really nothing, there's no story for her to go to. Charlotte's got her match. Becky's got her match. I mean, unless they do like some kind of crazy women's battle royal or something, there's really no spot for Alexa right now.
Which is sad, because she's such an amazing performer.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I kind of feel about Charlotte like I do Paul Heyman. It's just like, just the same repetitive character. So
yeah, I mean, I give her props. She did change up her moveset recently to take some of her boyfriend's moves, Andrade. She took that that double flip, like, you know, she does a cart, or what is it, a flip, and then she does it again. She also did like the back elbow thing. So she's taking some of his moves, which is nice to kind of see a refreshing move set. But still, yeah, you're right. It's the same. I'm the queen. You all suck. Bow to me. There's nothing else. I mean, but she's the queen, though. Like, who else? You know, what else is she gonna do?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I just think, you know, everyone's gonna compare her to her father, and somehow her father, you know, I'm kind of being hypocritical, because Ric Flair basically has done the same stuff. I'm not talking recent Ric Flair, but like his in-ring character moves, really matches, have all been the same, but he was so good. You know, I don't get that same vibe from Charlotte, where it's like, okay, she's just saying the same line essentially to this girl. I could watch Ric Flair say the same line to Rick Rude, to Nikita Koloff, to any number of, you know, Tully Blanchard, Magnum TA, and it was still somehow fresh to me, because the way he did it, I don't think she has her dad's personality to pull off basically the same character for a prolonged time.
Right, right, yeah. Well, speaking of Charlotte, that was the next match. Ronda Rousey and Naomi versus Charlotte and Sonya. You know, props to WWE for presenting women more frequently in Saudi Arabia, you know, considering their... You know, the way that they live over there. And, you know, this was an interesting thing. The gimmick was Ronda had to fight with one arm tied behind her back. And she also came out in karate, or her judo gear and her gi and no makeup, which was kind of like an FU to Saudi Arabia, you know, and all that, and the way they pick, you know, portray women. But Ronda and Naomi went over. Obviously, I mean, you got to keep Ronda strong. And that's the way to do it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I think I brought this up on the first episode. There's only been two episodes. but for me personally, it's so hard to take her as an ass kicker when she lost her last two fights in MMA.
Right.
But that's just me. But I do think you're right. You do have to keep her badass character up as much as you can. I don't think wrestling fans of 2022 are big MMA fans, because MMA is kind of taking a dip. So I'm probably wrong. but she is. She could be a Piper-like character for women, because she obviously loves Piper.
She needs to just get better on the mic.
I don't know if she ever will. You know, as you know, you're either good on the stick or you're not. Yeah. You know, Lance Storm, amazing, maybe the greatest technical wrestler of all time. And for you younger kids, just watch a Lance Storm wrestling match. It's a clinic, but awful on the mic. Like it just wasn't in him. And you know, Rick Rude, great on the mic. It was just, you could tell he loved, even though it was very repetitive, he was great on it. So I don't know what they can do. Pair her with a manager, maybe. That's good on. Please not Heyman. Please, I'm begging you.
I say Sonya Deville. You pair her with another MMA chick, make him even a tag team.
Or Shayna. Shayna too.
Shayna's not great on the mic either.
Well, that's true.
But you, there's got to be a mouthpiece, kind of like similar to what Heyman was early on for Lesnar. And Lesnar's awful on the mic. And Reigns is bad on the mic.
Zelina, another one. Pair with Zelina. Like, she's amazing on
the
mic.
Yeah, Zelina's great on the mic. Zelina, the Queen Vega, who now has a British accent, was to match her royalty, which is interesting. After that, we had Drew McIntyre and Madcap Moss. Drew McIntyre hit a Claymore kick while holding a sword. Do they not understand how dangerous it is to be playing around with a sword? I don't know. I didn't really care about this match at all. That doesn't matter to me.
You said it. The match was there.
Yeah.
Like, they had to have someone fill that time, which just bums me out because even though I'm much more an AEW guy, I mean, McIntyre's an amazing performer, but yeah, he's just, you know, the last couple of years, he's just there.
Yeah. I mean, they built him up so great during the pandemic. He was a great champ, and I thought he had everything it took, and then apparently, you know, it went back, you know, to Roman and Brock. So that's all that matters for them. After that, we had Becky and Lita for, you know, who is the hottest redhead in WWE. And Becky wins, of course, because I can't see Lita as a part-timer being a champion. I don't know.
I mean, once again, this actually made sense. You have Lita basically as a gatekeeper now for female wrestlers. You know, you get a win over her, or maybe a Trish Stratus. I know she hasn't been in the mix in a minute, but... you know, it makes sense. I mean, Lita's, you know, every year you get older, you're going to get slower. And
but props to her, though. That match went on way longer than I thought it would. I thought it was going to be like a 5-minute thing, you know, like most part-timers do. But it was an actual match. Like, it was long. There was lots of moves. And she got all her shit in, Lita. And, yeah, I mean, props to her for still being able to go. But, yeah, definitely not going to be the new champ.
Yeah. Well, I think Lita's wrestling background, you know, she's not some bimbo who's just trying to get into Playboy, or like, she cares about the business enough to, you know, do what needs to be done. So you're right. Props to Lita. I mean, she's amazing for her age. Of course, I would love to be her age. But the ending made sense. I mean, you can't have part-timers going over unless you've got another plan for WrestleMania that, you know, is months down the road.
Yeah, TLC match, Becky and Lita for the belt. No. you know, good on them, too. And what a moment for Becky. I mean, that's her idol. And to have a match with her in a stage in, you know, in a country where women weren't allowed to do what they're doing, you know, that's got to be really great for her. So good on Becky and good on Lita. Then they flew the Usos and the Viking Raiders all the way to fucking Saudi Arabia so they would not have a match.
You know... I just don't understand it. Like
they ran out of time. They ran that fucking Undertaker package that was about 20 minutes long, and then, you know, they were like, "Oops, well, got to cut a match out."
I mean, this was a weird card for me because I would say half the matches.
Battle.
Sorry, I got roast battle on my brain. Right, it's about to start upstairs. Half the matches made sense, and half like this, it was like, it just seemed like a waste of money to fly those four guys out there, a waste of time, a waste of everything, where you could have made one of the shorter matches a little longer, maybe have a good promo with someone to set up the next pay-per-view or WrestleMania or something. And it's just, that's where the WWE loses me, is stuff like that. It's just, who's in charge over? I mean, I know Vince is the guy, but like what's going on in those boardrooms where they said, let's bring him over there and, forget it.
Yeah, it was a waste of time. And then finally, the men's chamber. Brock Lesnar. I mean, that's just all that matters in the WWE. Bobby Lashley's spot was very weird.
Yeah.
They had Seth Rollins powerbomb Austin Theory into Bobby Lashley's chamber. Bobby falls to the ground, and they take him out with concussion protocol. But it's a cover for his shoulder injury that he has, a real legit shoulder injury. And, you know, for years they spent time not talking about concussions, like Daniel Bryan and Edge and all that, and Christian. But now they're using it as a plot to cover a shoulder injury? Like, why wouldn't they just say shoulder injury? You know?
Once again, I would love to be a fly on the wall.
That back room and gorilla?
The back room or the gorilla position, you know, the WWE caring about the CTE protocol is like, it's like about as bad as their Black History Month tributes. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
So that's another subject. But, you know, I'm not a huge Lashley fan. So, you know, I'm glad it got him out of the ring.
Yeah, I honestly thought it was the plastic from the pod was cutting his leg, because that's what it kind of looked like when it was happening. I had no idea what was going on. And props to Brock. Apparently he went off script and kicked the pod open. That wasn't part of the plan, and he was just like, fuck it, I'm not waiting any longer. Just kicked the pot open, murdered everybody in the ring, which kind of sucks. You know, you had AJ in there and Riddle, like really good, talented dudes, all got murdered, especially Theory. Theory got thrown off the top and bashed into the glass. And
can we talk about him for a second? I think he's one of the few people that they found. He's going to be a star.
Oh, yeah.
He's in early John Cena mode right now. This is one of the few people that they're molding to be a star that's actually going to be a star.
Yeah, I mean, who gets to have segments with Vince?
Oh, of course, but I mean, the way that he's booked, his look, everything about him, he's a star, right? He's, like, on that path as long as they don't screw it up. As long as he's not doing what Tyler Breeze was doing in 3 months from now, he's in a good spot.
Absolutely. I love the selfies thing, too. I know, like, my wife was like, oh, that's so stupid. I'm like, no, it's actually funny, because if you go to the Instagram, he's posting all of them. And it's hilarious. You see Bobby Lashley like all pissed off in the back, and you know Riddle's all like, eh. Like it's you know it's a funny thing to have. I think.
I mean, I don't know why I don't like Lashley. You know, he's typical of the '80s wrestler, just gigantic body and great look. I mean, he's got the mean scowl and
yeah.
and looks like a maniac.
He's a legit fighter, MMA fighter. You know,
but I just he's another one who needs a manager. Like,
well, he's got MVP.
I mean a manager, not some wrestler who they don't want to use anymore, and so we'll just give you a job. And you know, I don't know, I just think they're underutilizing him because he does have an amazing look, and you know Vince loves that look.
Oh yeah.
So I just, there's got to be something better they can do with Bobby Lashley, but what do I know?
Yeah.
No. I'm just a fan who buys the pay-per-view tickets and T-shirts.
Yeah, no big deal. Well, that does it for Elimination Chamber. Outside of that, there's some crazy news. I'm wearing the shirt right now, but rumor has it Stone Cold Steve Austin is coming back for a match, and possibly more than one match, which is mind-blowing. I mean, this should have happened a long time ago. I don't know how good he can go. I know he's in good shape, but, I mean, how well can Stone Cold, you know, go right now?
I mean, by the way, Stone Cold, along with Bill Cosby, are the only two people to block me on Twitter. So, O.J. Simpson is not. I harass O.J. every day on Twitter about, hey, it's an honor to be friends with a double murderer. And yet, allegedly. And yet Stone Cold has blocked me. You know, I think it's about who they obviously put him against. I'll assume his neck is still pretty jacked. I mean, that never really gets better.
Yeah.
I think you need to put him in there with a guy who takes bumps, who he can throw around the ring.
Kevin Owens.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that could be in the works. I mean, he looks in great physical shape.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like how AEW put Cassidy in there against Keith Lee, and Cassidy just flew around the ring. You know, it was a power move by everything Keith Lee did. Cassidy sold.
Yeah.
You're gonna need that. There's very, you know, I saw a report maybe Cody and Stone Cold.
I don't want that. I don't want that. I'd like to see him with KO because KO can take some bumps, man. That dude doesn't care about his life at all. You could see him just throw himself off ladders and off of, you know, second floor balconies. He just doesn't care. So he could take some cool bumps. Plus, it's the stunner versus stunner. And, you know, you got KO talking shit about Texas now. So it's obviously that that's the direction they're going for, at least for Mania. I don't know if he sticks around after that.
I would like to see them reunite KO and Elias just for one segment where they could make up a song about Stone Cold and Texas. And then, you know, obviously it'd be I know Elias doesn't do the music stuff anymore, but just.
Didn't do anything anymore. I haven't seen him in months.
It's another guy
who's
great talent, varied. And then I heard they made him change his look because he looked too much like Macho Man.
Yeah, he looks exactly like Macho
Man. But, I mean, I'm not going to say I would be against the Stone Cold return. I just think, you know, with these older wrestlers, you know, you saw what they did, and I know I bring up Sting a lot, but, you know, like, Sting against Seth Rollins wasn't good because, you know, Seth Rollins was getting in a lot of offense.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, Jesus, this guy's 62. I'll assume Stone Cold is mid-50s.
He's in his 50s, yeah.
So you got to put him up against a younger guy, pardon my language, a younger buck, and, you know, have them take the punishment. But it has to make sense in the storyline, too. You just can't put him in there against a young guy who there's nothing, you know, there's no, like, story between him and Stone Cold. So
yeah.
I'll watch it.
Yeah, sure. The other big news, Cody leaving AEW with Brandy. Everybody assumes that he's going to WWE. I spent all week trying to figure out who would we put Cody up against in WWE. No program makes any sense.
Well, I mean, he's an upper mid-card guy, and I say that has in a complimentary tone. You know, there's got to be some jilted AEW star comes in, but I don't know. You know, given his size, he's kind of a middle range guy size wise. Maybe Kevin Owens, maybe like.
Yeah, the thing is the rumor is Vince is waving a flag of celebration in the back that, oh my God, we got one of the AEW guys, and that's this big deal. So they want to give him a big push, but none of the big pushes make any sense. They're not going to put him up against Roman. They're not going to put him up against Brock because either way sucks. Like, if he wins, it makes AEW look great. Like, oh, shit, AEW guys are taking out Brock and Roman? Let's go watch AEW. And Vince doesn't want that. And then also to bring him in to lose to those guys doesn't make any sense. So I really don't know. I mean, unless you put him up against, AJ or – because even the mid-card belts don't matter. Like, the IC belt doesn't matter. Sami Zayn has it now, and he's going to have a match with Johnny Knoxville at WrestleMania. Like, that belt doesn't matter. And the United States Championship is okay right now, but it's still not – I don't think it's a big enough thing for Cody to have.
I mean, you could maybe have – I don't know what their plan finish for Knoxville and Zayn is, but maybe he's beating up Knoxville pretty badly, and then Cody comes in
and saves him.
Saves him, and then they do a program – I mean, they're going to bury him at the end of the day.
Yeah.
He might win his first match, but this is Vince. This got classic Vince written all over it. And I don't think AEW really cares. I mean, you know, if they cared enough, they would have signed him.
Yeah, they've got plenty of other talent there to do it. I honestly think if they were to – the only way that it would be awesome is if they were to let Cody come in and go hard. Like – I'm Cody from AEW, and I'm here. Look what I did with AEW. I'm here to revolutionize WWE. But they're not going to let him do that.
You're right. They should. They should have him do an MJF style of, you know, I was better here before. I'm better now. I made AEW, and I'm here to save WWE. Because his promos did get better.
Very passionate.
But I just don't know. He's just not a needle mover, so ultimately, he'll be buried in a few months.
Yeah, I think so, too. And then I watched – I know you don't watch Impact. I don't think you watch Impact.
I don't.
You don't. I watched the pay-per-view mostly because of the Bullet Club drama that's going on, which is also linked to everything that's going on in AEW because of the Forbidden Door and everything. You got Jay White in AEW now. The Good Brothers versus G.O.D., the Gorillas of Destiny, which, you know, are – that was the original Bullet Club members, the Gorillas of Destiny and the Good Brothers. and they battled it out. Then they beat the shit out of the Gorillas of Destiny, and Jay White came out and turned on the Gorillas, and now the Good Brothers are back in the Bullet Club, I guess? I don't know. But it was pretty cool. It was a great match, really good match. I recommend you watch it if you haven't watched it. And then ultimately, the last match, too, which was Big Cass from Enzo and Cass versus Moose. And I put a little note here, like, of course Moose won, because you wouldn't have your black champion lose on Black History Month, would you? Who would do such a thing?
Vince.
Yep. Bobby is no longer the champ. So, yeah, Vince would do that. Absolutely. But, yeah, that's there's still a lot of stuff. People, rumors flying around.
Well, didn't Braun Strowman?
Oh, yeah. There's also Braun Strowman and EC3 and Killer Cross are starting their own promotion. I'm starting to think we have too many wrestling promotions.
Well, I don't know who put it in his head to start a new promotion. I don't know. Maybe he has a billionaire financial backer, because that's really the most important thing in a new promotion is the money to carry out the storylines, sign some big names or some decent names, but they're all pretty much locked in to either New Japan, AEW, Impact, or WWE. So I can't see this doing well.
I'll tell you where the money's coming from. It's EC3. He's a Carter. So he goes back into the TNA, Impact days. You know, they had, I forget her name, but she was running,
Dixie Carter.
Dixie Carter was running Impact and TNA and all that. So I'm pretty sure that's where the money's coming from. But yeah, I really don't see this doing too well. They did a cinematic thing not too long ago, and then they also did an appearance at the last Ring of Honor. I think we have too many. I think we should stick to GCW, New Japan, Impact as the locals, and then have the two big AEW and WWE kind of going at it.
I mean, I'm sure Strowman and Wyatt, especially Wyatt, I mean, he was really beyond buried several times. I'm sure it's like when a guy or girl leaves a band, they think, oh, I'm going to do my solo stuff and I don't need the band.
Never works out.
Very rarely. Well, I mean, you look at the guys in Kiss, Ace and Peter were like, hey, we're in the biggest band in the world. We don't need Kiss. And they were begging to come back.
Yeah.
I hope both of those guys, I don't want the business to do bad. Ultimately, competition is great, but there are too many companies right now. I would love to see those two in AEW. I really want to see AEW and WWE head-to-head Monday Night Wars all over again, or Wednesday Night Wars, whatever. Because I think that will make WWE better. Like, that's when they got really good, was when, hey, we need an answer for the NWO, the Generation X. We need an answer for, the High Flyers. So they just had them join WWE.
Yeah.
Competition is good, but there's just it's watered down right now with all these promotions. So I just think Strowman and Wyatt would be, like we said with Rocky, if they walked out with Shane. Now, I don't know if that's a work. Do you think Shane is a work? Do you think he really got fired?
Apparently, he's not fired. He's back in the company now. But I'm pretty sure he was upset. I heard the rumors were that he wanted to book himself super strong for the Rumble, and everybody was like, no, we have our plans. Stop trying to change it. So maybe that's why they got rid of him. But yeah, I don't know. I honestly think I love what you're saying about the competition. I think if they really want to bring Cody to WWE and they really want to shake up the world, do it all the way. Make Cody the AEW guy that's coming over here to change WWE. Bring Chris Jericho, because we all know Jericho's going to go back to WWE to finish his career. You know that's going to happen. And then bring in the returning Kenny Omega and have that faction be like the AEW invasion. And then they can just start going crazy with it like they did back in the day with the invasion angles. I don't know.
I did like some of the invasion angles. Like, I really marked out, I'm a huge Mike Awesome fan, when he came in I just love that guy. And then they just buried the guy with the fat chick gimmick in the 70s guy. I don't think there's ever been a guy more potential. When you look at his ECW battles with Tanaka, like, my God, it was brutal, but it was skilled brutality. And then he's in a polyester shirt and so I hope I love Omega. You know, I hope he stays in AEW because I just think he would be buried in WWE.
Oh, for
again.
Sure. Yeah. Unless it's in an angle like that where it's an invasion, I don't want to see him there.
But they butchered those. Every single invasion WWE did, they buried those guys. You know, the famous Booker T and The Rock.
Yeah.
Who are you? But, I mean, he buried Booker T with not even a full sentence. Who are you? He was done. He was dead.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, I did like Jericho in The Rock in that debut, which these wouldn't be debuts. They'd just be returns, I guess. But I really hope that all these guys don't go crawling back to WWE. But, you know, it's money talks.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. We are now officially, we have an email address. So you guys out there, if you want to send your thoughts or your opinions or your suggestions, hit us up, comedystorewrestling@gmail.com. Send us whatever you got. Don't send us any dick pics. I mean, I'll forward those to Earl.
No, I'm good, man. You got some booby pics you want to send.
There you go.
Girls, not guys, because I know wrestling fans. You know, I went to a show the other day, and this guy who was pushing four bills asked for a medium. There weren't enough X's in the world to give this guy. Girls, if you're over 18, I feel like I have to say that as well.
Oh, of course, correct, yes.
Some of my comedy comrades don't really subscribe to that theory, but that's another podcast.
All right, well, stick around, guys. We've got Rocky Romero in the house, New Japan Zone. He's in AEW right now with Roppongi Vice and the Super Friends, the Super Chaos Friends, whatever you want to call it. Make sure to email us any suggestions you got. And, yeah. What's up, everyone? We are here joined by the almighty Mr. Rocky Romero of New Japan. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great.
Host of the Talking Shop podcast.
That's right.
You know, the busiest man in the business, I would say right now.
I'm pretty busy. It's very overwhelming, but you caught me on a good day. I made some time for y'all.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, man.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course, you wouldn't believe how much work this guy puts in.
No, I did some research on you.
I thought you were looking up a little porn there.
Well, right now, I'm on ghettogaggers.org. I don't see any of your clips on there, but
not yet, at least. Yeah.
I'm on AEW.com. And you really are an amazing talent. And
thank you.
I don't think a lot of the American fan base knew about you until you came over here because, you know, New Japan seems to be like its own island with wrestling fans. Because in America, we don't, like, I don't know where you watch it. I saw it a few times on Axis with Josh Barnett.
Right.
But it's not really publicized in America that well.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I mean, we just made our way back to Access, so we're working with Impact and their parent group, Anthem Sports, which owns Access TV now. And so, yeah, we've got a brand new episodes coming, I think March 3rd, I want to say. So it's like Thursday nights. It's Impact from 8 to 10, and then 10 p.m., New Japan Pro Wrestling.
And you're in both, like... How the hell do you have the time to do this?
Both and AEW as well. And also you're doing
forbidden
local shows.
The forbidden door is real, as they say. And it might be Rocky Romero, I guess. Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, but it's exposing. The forbidden door is great because like, I didn't really know who Mr. White was. Like, just, and it's not an inside joke on him. I just, I don't have access to guys like that and you, so I was like, who the hell? I thought it was a fan rushing the like, who the hell is this guy? Because that was the same night Keith Lee had debuted, and you definitely don't miss him when he debuts.
No, for sure. Yeah, no, Jay White has been, he's got a lot of TV time in the last couple of weeks, which has been really awesome, obviously, with AEW and Impact. And, you know, him changing the game with the Bullet Club yet again, the Good Brothers joining in. And he's been all over the place. But, like, yeah, like you said, it's been a little hard to get New Japan Pro Wrestling in the mainstream here in America. But I think, you know, being back on Access TV will be important. You can always check out njpwworld.com. That's our streaming service. It's got all, like, the stuff from Japan and all the stuff that we're doing here in the U.S. And we've got a big iPay-per-view coming up on April 16th from Chicago. That should be really, really sick.
Ooh, what's the name of that?
Windy City Riot.
Ooh, yeah. Is that just New Japan? Because I know you guys have that New Japan Strong as well.
Yes. So, yeah, that's like a New Japan. So, like, we're basically doing, like, New Japan Strong is, like, a weekly television show. Kind of like we're filming it, like, old school, like, a studio style, I guess, you know, type of thing. We're filming it all around the country, but our home base is right here in L.A.,
Dojo.
Yeah, at the Vermont Theater, where they're like every other month filming there, but yeah, that's like a episodic kind of take on New Japan. So like, you know, it's New Japan style wrestling, yes, and then but it's just kind of like put into an hour long show, which is kind of cool. So so yeah, you'll get a little bit shorter matches. You know, you get some angles and some storylines, but it's not like overly done. So like, not, you know, you might only get like one storyline per episode, so it's not like too much to digest, which is kind of cool. So you can pop in and out as you please, and you can, or you can easily pick up like where the storylines are coming from. And then, yeah, for this show, it's like every 3 months or so, we're having these kind of bigger eye pay-per-views. So we had one in LA last August. We had one in San Jose in November. And the next one will be this Windy City Riot in Chicago on April 16th.
Hell yeah.
And who are you going up against? Or can you say yet?
I don't know. I'll probably be in like some kind of tag team match or something, because I'm not that important. You know, we got some of the big shots coming in. We got Will Ospreay, who's going to be there. John Moxley, of course, is going to be around. Maybe some other folks from AEW are going to come in as well. Tomohiro Ishii, who's like a big fan favorite here in the States. Minoru Suzuki, another big name from Japan.
Yeah, he's coming back for a little tour, yeah?
Yeah, he'll be here for about like 30 days or so.
Nice.
So, yeah, he's making his rounds. I'm sure he'll end up on AEW television as well somewhere, as like he did last time. I mean, he kind of came in for like a month or whatever, a month or two or whatever it was, and he was literally everywhere. Yeah,
I love him.
Yeah,
Twitter trending incident. Yeah, the Suzuki incident, because they cut off his music, which is, he has an entrance where he walks in slowly, and then there's a moment where the part of the song goes off, Kaze ni nare. Everybody sings it. Mm-hmm. He takes his towel off, but they cut it before he even got to that part.
It's like a 2 minute entrance, right? And at this one beat, he takes off his thing, right? And everybody, the crowd screams, Kaze ni nare, which means like, I go with the wind in Japanese. And they cut it off because due to time, because they were running too late in the show. So they just cut it like 30 seconds in. Yeah. And people were pissed.
Yeah, the internet went crazy. Oh, yeah. How dare you? The disrespect.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you need time for Jericho's song. I mean, you know, listen, I love the song. Yeah. I just downloaded it, so he made $2 off me.
Great.
But
he didn't need that $2.
He had to pay for Kamala's funeral. Well, it's $5,000 in the shout out to the WWE for taking care of that.
Right.
Jesus. But do you find, like, as a novice New Japan fan, you know, I don't know if I'm wrong by saying this, but it almost looked real from this. It seemed more technical, whereas American wrestling, like when Keith Lee threw Cassidy 100 feet in the air, it was cartoonish, but it was amazing. Is it hard to go back and forth to the different styles?
No, because I think in the end, pro wrestling is pro wrestling, you know? So, you know, like, definitely, like, New Japan and the way it's presented feels more like it's a sport, you know?
Right.
It really does. So, but, you know, like, this is funny. I was just doing a seminar recently, and I was talking about, like, you kind of got to know your audience, you know? Like, I'm sure it's, like, same thing in comedy, you know, depending on what city you're in, you got to kind of know what they like and what you think might actually work, depending on where you're at, like company, whether it be AEW, Impact, or New Japan, or Mexico, or whatever. You kind of got to know your audience. So you kind of like tweak everything just slightly to make it work, you know, but you want to stay true to what you do, because that's what they're bringing you in for, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And AEW gives you a lot of freedom with that strong style. You know, it's not like,
for sure,
WWE will make you a little more like, hey, take it easy, you know.
Well, yeah, AEW is so is very grounded in professional wrestling. Like, you know, they want to present it more like a sport. You know, they have rankings, they have, you know, wins and losses matter, where like WWE doesn't matter at all. Like, you know. But you know, and especially Tony Khan was such a fan of New Japan. Like the first time we came to Long Beach back in, like, whatever it was, like, 2000.
At the Pyramid?
Yeah, at the Pyramid in 2017 or something like that.
Yeah,
this is pre-AEW. He was sitting in the first row. It was like he was there during the Bucks versus Roppongi Vice, our last match, until the AEW one. And it had such an effect on him that, you know, he was such a big New Japan fan that that's kind of like what he, like, I think kind of it was inspiring for AEW. He didn't really want to do comedy stuff. He wanted to do, like, serious, you know, wrestling for the most part.
Well, he should be sitting in the front row. The guy's a billionaire.
Yeah, let me ask you personally, how did it feel for you to relive that match of the Bucks versus Roppongi on like on the TNT? Was it TNT or TBS?
TNT. Rampage on TNT. Yeah.
So, I mean, either way, it's a national television. You got a big arena crowd. Like, how did, you know, did you feel any different? Just approaching that in a bigger stage like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad it ended up the way it did because the way we were supposed to do it, we were going to have it, it was going to be live on Rampage in D.C., but then I got COVID the day before. So I was out for real good times. So, but I kind of was like really nervous and not really mentally ready for it. So I was like, I got an extra like 2 or 3 weeks to like take off before we actually did the match. So like, thank God I did because I kind of felt a little like, I don't know, I was feeling very stressed by it because of like it was going to be live TV. And it's like the biggest stage, you know, huge stage like TNT. But no, it was cool. I mean, I got so much love and support like from the family and friends that really supported and were just like, whoa, this is amazing. Like, same thing. We used to see you in the Bucks in ROH, or we used to see you in the Bucks, you know, in New Japan, USA somewhere, you know, but now here you guys are on this huge platform. So yeah, shout out to AEW for having me. I love it. Yeah.
I love AEW.
Yeah, AEW's great.
I'm the biggest supporter of it.
Yeah.
I hope they stick it to the WWE.
But that's the thing is real wrestling fans, I think, from like, you know, definitely from my age group and, you know, your age group as well, you know, I think they really enjoy what AEW is doing because they are catering to the fans instead of like going against the grain. They're like giving the fans what they want, you know. So, I feel like WWE can just like, I don't know what sometimes the decisions that they make are kind of wild, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, we could go over those in about 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah. It's a weird thing because you hear the fans go crazy about, you know, the way the WWE books stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to argue when they keep making money. It's sad.
Like, well, yeah, there's just such an institution, though, you know. It's hard for them. It'd be hard for them not to make money at this point. I think, you know, everybody knows the brand. The brand is worldwide. It's a strong brand. And really, they've been working so hard just to make the brand strong as opposed to, like, all the wrestlers, you know, for so long. And I feel like it's finally showing, like, all the work that they've put in for that, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it doesn't matter who's on top. It doesn't matter, like, they can all be replaced, I feel like, at this moment in a way, you know?
Except for Roman and Brock, I guess, those are the two, I feel like they could the two
be,
anchors.
I mean, they could be replaced, too. I mean, the brand is so strong, it's like...
Yeah, eventually they will. You know? Yeah, yeah.
No, sure. I don't think they will. I'd like to see them wrestle another 70 times.
Well, it all comes down to... You can even see by the belts. Like, you look at the championship belt at WWE, it's their logo.
Yeah.
You look at the New Japan belt, and it doesn't even say New Japan, really. It says IWGP.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it shows you where their concern is, each of them. You know, WWE is more marketing, and then, you know, that's more of a legacy belt, you know? What are your thoughts on this whole thing? And, you know, kayfabe, if you want, on Cody's departure. It was such a hot topic. Right
you now. Know what? It was a shock, you know, for me personally. I love working with Cody. Cody has been literally like nothing but a pleasure to work with, you know, and this is like after WWE, you know, we had a conversation and he was like, you know, like, what do you think about, you know, would New Japan be interested? And I didn't know Cody at all before this. And we talked and I said, yeah, you know, I think New Japan, you know, is definitely interested. And the idea came down the line, well, what about Cody for Bullet Club? And Cody was opposed. He was like, I don't think I fit in with those guys. You know, he didn't know the Bucks at this time. Yeah. He didn't know Kenny, you know, whoever else was in the Hangman. Yeah, Marty and those guys. So, like, he was completely opposed to it. And he's like, I don't think – and I remember talking to him, and he'd kind of be like, okay, yeah. And then I remember him shooting me a text later and being like – I don't think it's going to work, dude. And I was like, no, think about it. We're just got to repackage you a little bit. And I remember talking to my boss about it, and he was kind of like, well, you know, he needs to come up with like a moniker. And I've been thinking about it. And, you know, what about the, you know, the American Nightmare? It's the opposite of the American Dream. And like, what if we go with that route? And then I was started to think about it, and I was like, yeah, that's cool. It's like, maybe we can do like American Psycho, you know, like he would fit it kind of perfectly. He was always wearing the suits and stuff like that. You know, he's kind of known for that. And so then we got with a guy who does our videos, a guy named Jason Goldwolf. He's out here in L.A. And I told him about the American Psycho thing. So like we shot this thing in my buddy's garage, where we brought Cody in and we put up, you know, like all these like plastic, like around, made like this plastic room. We got Cody smoking the cigar, and it's like, and he's got the, you know, the mask that he used to wear when he broke his nose or whatever, and doing that thing. Yeah, so like, it, you know, it's like this like kind of American Psycho-y type of promo. And then that was the debut promo for Cody when he was coming, and you know, he puts the cigar out on the Tokyo Dome logo, and then that was the, you know, that was his debut against Juice Robinson. So that was kind of opened the door for that. Yeah. And then the rest is history. It became Bullet Club. They did All In and created AEW, and then
now he's gone,
which is wild. It's wild. You know, I mean, he'll bounce wherever he goes. He's going to be a commodity, cuz he's like, he's well spoken. I think his wrestling is great. I think he's very smart individual, and he's got like this really cool legacy. Obviously, we know his father and his brother, and you know, I think he'll be back eventually. Maybe he goes for 2 or 3 years, whatever it is. And who's to say, like, he probably goes back to AEW at some point, and it's going to be even bigger.
Do you think that Forbidden Door will ever just completely break down with WWE, like, where that's kind of like a thing, and you can have like Kenny go over for a Mania, or you know, Reigns go over for a Dynamite, you know, whatever. Like, do you think that'll ever happen?
When they sell. Maybe.
When they sell,
yeah,
that makes sense.
Maybe when they sell and they have non-wrestling people who don't have the like a grudge for it, you know, and it's just kind of about like making money completely because they spent $7 billion on the company, you know.
Or they just buy AEW out.
Or they buy. God. I can see Tony selling.
I mean,
though,
Tony's
yeah.
got more money than Vince, doesn't he?
Well, so did Ted Turner.
Shit, that's right.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but I don't think Tony's a young, you know, big fan. I wouldn't want to call him a mark, but you know.
No. He is. Yeah. And I mean that.
We're all. I mean, I'm isn't that why we're here? Yeah.
I'm breaking down Sting's WWE run. I tell you what's going to happen.
Is that the first segment? Breaking down Sting's WWE run?
Well, that's what got me on Piper's podcast. I was doing a set here, and I was so angry. I was just talking about how Sting got jobbed out. And Piper's like, why don't you come on my podcast? Because I don't think he wanted to be a bad guy anymore. He's like, I'll just get this maniac. He clearly doesn't want to work for the WWE. And Piper was the face.
That's so awesome. I got to work, like, I met Piper not, like, maybe a couple months before he passed. Yeah. But I got to work with his son.
Yeah.
So we did a thing not too far from here, like for a championship wrestling from Hollywood. They were shooting this pilot, and they built up like the pilot between me and him, and where we had this like little feud, and then we had this match, and we had a really, really awesome match. And he doesn't have much experience, you know, so like we're able to like get him through it, and it was awesome, and it was like such a cool moment for me, because when I got to the back, Piper, who I don't know at all, runs up to me and just gives me this crazy embrace and is just like hugging me. And I'm like, what is going on in my life right now? Like, Roddy Piper is telling me how great I am and like what a great wrestler I am. And, you know, thank you for getting my son through that. And like, just what an awesome moment it was for him to see his son have a kick ass match, you know, and like crowd was going crazy. And then for me, just to be, you know, glad to do it, of course, but like even more awesome, like getting this awesome praise from Roddy Piper. It was like definitely one of the coolest moments of my career.
Like, do you take the lead in the ring, like, and guide him through, like, because you clearly have a ton more experience?
100%. Yeah, guiding him through, and you know, like, of course, you know, like you get caught up into, and the crowd's going, and then you know, it's like, what's next, what's going on? I'm like, it's all good, and we're gonna get through this, you know, like do this. And he's like, all right, cool, and then like that, and I'm just putting myself in the positions of, you know, to make it real easy. And yeah, we had a kick-ass match, dude. It was fucking awesome. Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, what a great moment. Yeah.
Do you aspire at all to, like, I know that before, in the before AEW times, the dream was get Mania, right? That was like the Super Bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's still the case? Is that a case for you to eventually do a Mania, or is that just like, you know, not even important anymore?
You know, that, like, on paper, yes, it would be cool, like, maybe more for, like, my family and, like, friends to maybe, like, I feel like they would be like, oh, that's such a cool thing that, like, you've made it, you know, type of thing. Right. You know, like, I guess that would, in that kind of sense, you know? But to be honest, I don't give a fuck. Like, I could care less. I mean, like,
what, put you up against Bad Bunny or something.
I mean, that would be dope, yeah, dude. Yeah. I would love to wrestle Bad Bunny.
Oh, yeah?
I think a ladder match, yeah, with Hornswoggle.
I mean, I could,
wait,
do
have
that.
You had a ladder
I could
match
do that in Luke Gallows' backyard.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Wait. Speaking of that, when's Talking Shop Mania 3 happening?
fuck it. As soon as we can get Carl Anderson to say yes, you know. But me and Gallows, we're like, we've written like so much of this Talking Shop Mania. Like, I got this whole like idea to do this. If we don't do a Talking Shop Mania, it'll be like Talking Shop Mania 2.5, and it's like this at least hour long like cinematic journey where, you know, it's like semi-Spaceball, semi-fucking, you know, Talking Shop, and, you know, bunch of cameos, especially, like, all the people who've been released in the last, like, year and a half. Yeah. We have so many great cameos and so much shit that we could make fun of. So, I mean, I'm ready to do it. You know, we got the budget. We did really well on the first two, so.
You
got to
watch those, man. There's you have a match with Chavo in a gym.
Oh, I love Chavo.
Yeah, yes.
But, like, in a gym while they're doing weights and shit.
Yeah, it's, and the banter of Talking Shop is so ridiculous. Yeah. So this is Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, and I. We have a podcast called Talking Shop. So when they got fired, you know, their final match in WWE was the Boneyard match, AJ versus Undertaker, right? You know, this goes back to what you're talking about. but they're so, like, they did this match, and they were getting all this praise, and then they get released, right? You know, the pandemic, you know, supposedly, whatever. So, Gallows had this idea. He's like, I want to do this crazy pay-per-view. This is like middle of pandemic. You know, they had just done Mania with no fans. And he was like, we just do it on my property. He lives in the middle of Georgia. We'll film it and let's just spoof everything. But the main event is going to be a boner yard match. So,
so I'd like to be involved.
So they have two characters. Carl and Gallows have two characters where it's Chad Too Bad and Sex Ferguson. Those are their alter egos. So we built this pay-per-view in and we did like five matches where that's billed as the worst pay-per-view ever.
I love it.
And it's literally the worst fucking pay-per-view ever. It's like we tried to find the shittiest wrestlers to wrestle each other, and then, you know, really overdone stupid gimmicks. Like we had instead of a briefcase on a pole, it was like a briefcase on a tree, you know? Like just really dumb shit. And it did really well. It was a ton of fun to do. The second one we did Talking Chop Mania 2, and me and Chavo, we had a death match, but the winner had to actually kill the other person. So he actually died by lightsaber due to Taylor Williamson. Taylor Williamson hit him with a lightsaber, and he died. So I'll send you the links after so you can check it out. I think
I'd
you
like
really
to be
like
involved
it.
In the next one.
Well, Talking Shop Mania 3, if, you know, maybe we should book you.
I mean, I'm a great heel. I can't wrestle, but that doesn't stop a lot of
guys.
Will you
be some Kamala face painting, dude?
Dude, yes. No, wait,
I don't
wait,
know
wait,
if
wait,
I
want wait,
to be in blackface. But, what am I, Piper against Bad News Brown?
I want to give a shout out to the boys, to the Good Brothers, and a nice FU. I watched their vlog today, mm-hmm. and they put a little graphic up with your face. They're like, we haven't heard from Rocky in like,
oh, I don't
week.
Get involved in that fucking vlog.
They put
I'm
a graphic like, we haven't heard from Rocky in like 7 days. I'm like, yeah. Well, that's because he's here.
Yeah. Sorry,
too
guys.
Busy here.
This is a Comedy Store Wrestling podcast. This isn't Conrad and some other
dude. Yeah, some other yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's high level shit here.
So you're kind of like currently involved in like a main event picture with AEW. You got the Bucks and, mm-hmm. and you know Roppongi. You're involved with the Super Friends. What are they called?
Right, Super
Chaos,
Friends.
Chaos Friends.
Yeah. Yep, Super Chaos Friends against you know, the Elite / Bullet Club / Super Click.
Super Click, kind of a 3-for-1 special.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, why don't you get the NWO in there?
Oh, yeah, sure, I like right it. Now. Yeah, no, it's pretty cool.
Is that something that is going to keep going? I mean, do you see yourself becoming All Elite at some point, and maybe, like, you know, working more for them and not Japan?
No, I've got a long-term contract with New Japan.
Oh, okay.
I signed a 5-year deal a while ago. So yeah, I still have like 3 years left at least on that. I'll definitely be with New Japan and you know, definitely, you know, being a flag bearer for the company, especially in the West and in the States. I love the company. I love what it represents. I love the style of wrestling. I mean, that's my shit. So, like, I want to be a part of that. But I also want to help New Japan grow to a Western audience, be more accessible, you know, for the audience here. So, and I think through AEW and through Impact as well, the partnerships have been really good to get more eyes on our product. So you definitely be seeing me more in AEW down the line. You probably see a lot more New Japan guys coming down the line too.
No, okay, all right.
And will some AEW guys go to New Japan, like, for a one-off super card and stuff like that?
Or... Yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, like, we definitely are going to have plans to bring AEW talent to what we're doing in the States, like New Japan Strong shows and the iPay-per-views that we're doing here. And as soon as the borders open in Japan, I could definitely see, like, more AEW talent being integrated over there as well.
Hmm. All right. Well, as a closing question, since last time we had Josh here, you got something, John?
Yeah, I have a question. I constantly hear about some old-timers, part-timers coming in. So I'm sort of with Earl, where I don't have easy access to New Japan, but I know you, and you can wrestle. So when you say, I'm not important, they have Moxley coming in, without bullshitting us, do you guys really get annoyed when they bring in the part-timers that take spots that you guys could actually be crushing in?
No.
Really?
No, because I think in the bigger picture, you know, Moxley being on the card brings so many more eyes to it that I think everybody's kind of in, like, everybody's on the same wavelength as, like, if we're going to get this thing bigger, we're going to get more eyes on people, it's going to be more accessible. It's like, we need people like Moxley to open that door. And Moxley's a fucking dope dude. He's, like, literally one of the best people, and he's super talented. And I think he might be, like, my favorite wrestler, like, right now. Just, he's all the shit that I like, you know?
Right.
Like, he legit is. He's just, like, a dude who's, like, a husband and a dad, and he just goes out there, and he didn't really, like, you know, shave his chest or nothing that day. And he's just, like, literally walked in. He's like, what am I doing here? Yeah, okay, cool. And he's, like, you know, got the gravelly voice, and he just goes out there, and he kicks ass for, like, 10 minutes, and then he fucking goes home. I love that.
Yeah, man. I've been a fan.
he really is the best of both, you know, the promos. Like,
yeah.
If anyone makes wrestling seem real, like, you're like, okay, this guy is, he's not messing around.
No.
Yeah, if you get bored one day, look up his old CZW matches where he just takes a chainsaw to the face and a couple other ridiculous things in his hardcore matches.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been a fan of his since when he was Dean, you know what
right,
I mean?
So
now seeing him kind of blossom into, like, his own thing and bring back the Mox name, I'm like, yeah, man, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
We need to get him in here, by the way. That needs to happen.
Yeah. Maybe, like, young guys might feel that way, but, like, you know, like, younger guys, like, you know, who are just coming up, like, in the first and second matches, they might feel like, oh, man, like, that could have been a spot maybe for us. I could see that, you know, and they should feel that way. I feel like when you're young and you're going after it, everybody should kind of be a little bit of an enemy, you know, in a way, you know, just to kind of, like, light that fire under your ass to, like, get to the top, you know.
Well, I also think that's the difference between what you guys do and WWE. Not that WWE doesn't have wrestlers, but you guys are bringing in wrestlers. So for you guys to have outsiders come in, it's John Moxley. What's happening now is you're getting one of the, what's that, the TikTok kid, the YouTube kid that's now partnering.
Jake Paul and Logan Paul or whatever it is.
Fighting with the Miz. And it's like
they
fired John Morrison, who they underutilized for a year.
Yeah.
By the way,
replacing him with a TikToker. I'm like,
I did beat John Morrison in a roast battle, but that's irrelevant.
That's not irrelevant.
As
that's awesome.
As you should.
Like, well, you know, it's funny because, you know, roast battle upstairs in its heyday was like an ECW, like, battle dome. And I'm like, yeah. Hey, John, you know, it's a wild atmosphere up there. He's like, dude, I wrestled in front of 70,000 people. I got it. As soon as he got up there, he was shitting on his face. But I think John was talking about situations like when David Arquette won the WCW title. Like, they don't really bring in like celebrities like that. But,
right.
You know, some people's problem with Lesnar is that he's kind of a part-timer. You know, he'll go in, he'll come out like that.
But everybody wants to work with Lesnar. That's
less
the thing.
Less they're all than Goldberg. Goldberg, I think people have a big.
But everybody wants to work with Goldberg too. You know what I'm saying? Like they're all saying that because they're not working with those guys. If they were working with those guys, they'd have a different tune. They'd be like, "Oh yeah, it's fine. Yeah, yeah, it's good that he's here." You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna make $50,000 off this pay per view.
I'm Jewish. Of course, I like Goldberg.
I mean. They're going to have to fill 8 hours of WrestleMania this year, so I would be furious.
I think they should do more.
How about a whole week of WrestleMania?
Let's do 12.
They should have Shane go over AJ Styles again.
Hey, remember that one time where Shane got let go? Like a day after that?
I have a fantasy booking for that.
Is he showing up in AEW?
I'd like to throw some booking ideas. I know we have to go, but like... I'm telling you, if Shane walked out there with Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman, I know he just got his own promotion. Trust me, that thing will go under quicker than a porn star. He's got three people in the promotion. What is he supposed to wrestle? Bray Wyatt 8 weeks in a row?
Bray Wyatt's not even a part of that.
But if they... Oh, he will be.
He will be eventually.
But wouldn't that be... don't you think the internet would break if those three walked out, say, I know AEW has a pay-per-view, I believe this Sunday... something's going on.
Revolution?
Sunday.
No.
Yeah. Is it Revolution? Something's... Yeah, March.
March 6th.
Yeah.
Also, maybe it's 2 weeks. But, like, tell me, as a wrestler and as a fan, would you not mark out if those three walked out challenged?
People would be going nuts. People would be going nuts, and it'd be, you know, definitely ratings would go up.
Yeah. I was looking at wrestling Twitter, and people were like, just stupid. No one would pop for Shane. I'm like, you're crazy if you say
dude,
that.
Dude, people love Shane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, does it bother you, like, I previously mentioned when he went over AJ Styles. Like, there's a non-wrestler, but I will say this. He does take the crazy bumps, so I'll give him credit for that. But, like, how do the boys in the back feel when they see him kind of being put on AJ Styles' level as a performer?
You know, I think that there's a certain respect for Shane, you know, because he has done all the stuff and, like, he's been in those high, you know, situations, those big moments. But I feel like, I think for the most part, probably most of my friends and most of the boys would probably be like, dude, I can't believe that they would do that to AJ.
I mean, supposedly he got let go because of, he got backstage heat because he wanted to go, what was it? He wanted to outstrike Matt Riddle in the Rumble.
Sounds plausible.
You know,
yeah,
ex-UFC fighter.
Yeah, no big deal.
Very believable.
Yeah, he's got those potatoes that he throws. I'm sure that he could take down Riddle.
What was he a fighter? Mean Street.
Oh, God.
Posse.
That was awesome. I thought we were going into a Freebirds territory. Backstreet. Oh, but, I mean, like, we all are wrestling fans. And we know it's scripted or whatever you want to call it. But, like...
How dare you?
Like, when I watched the movie Predator... I know I'm not watching a documentary about an alien killing eight guys, but I like the storyline to match up. It's just not believable that he can out-wrestle one of the greatest technical wrestlers of all time.
Right. Especially, like, as you're a kid, maybe that means it means nothing, right? But once you become an adult and you become mature.
A teenager,
you got some sense of, like, how the fuck does that work? Like, how the hell should he be able to outstrike fucking...
I was 47 at the time. like, I watched your match with Brian Danielson in AEW, and, like, it was amazing. Like, I thought it was, like, it was almost a hybrid of MMA moves and wrestling and theater, and that was very enjoyable to watch because it was believable.
Thank
like,
you.
These guys seem like they don't like each other.
Right.
We had a beer afterwards.
Yeah.
We don't have to break kayfabe.
Exactly.
but it was, like, so fun to watch. And, I know AJ and Shane was, you know, 6-7 years ago. I hold on to grudges.
Oh, man.
I love it.
Well, the final question I had, since last episode we had Josh and we talked about Bob Sapp's dick. And,
no, I talked about
Bob Sapp's dick.
Bob Sapp's
dick.
Have you seen it?
No, but I would love to.
You should. I mean, like, you know, I don't want to get us canceled, but, like, I'm a Bob Sapp guy.
Yeah, me too.
Just, you know, he's like a hybrid MMA wrestler, and I hear he tells promoters now, you got me for 3 minutes. After that, I check out. So, like,
dude, I would love we've had Bob. Fortunately, on Talking Shop on our podcast, you know, many, many years ago. But, you know, I was there when he debuted in New Japan, you know, like 20 years ago or whatever it was. So I love Bob Sapp, and I want to see him. I would love to get him on a New Japan USA show.
That'd
like,
be cool.
I think it would be so sick. That
would
be
cool. I would love to be his manager. Just walk out.
There it is.
A little Gary Hart promo. My brothers and sisters. Just don't have him on the mic. Don't have Bob Sapp.
Well, I think my question was, since we have spoken of Hoots in the past, you know, being in the locker room with all the Hoots, like the rumors amongst your crew is Finn Balor has the biggest Hoot. But, you know, who would you say has the biggest Hoot in all the
land?
I mean,
his is only big because it's uncircumcised.
Because
you know?
Oh, he shows it to you in his entrance.
Uncircumcised.
Like, seriously.
That you were Jewish.
Yeah, but I'm a half Catholic, so I slid in.
Nice.
I don't like anything 10% off.
Hey-oh.
Hey-oh.
Seriously, what's that intro for Finn? He shows,
check it out. Look at it.
Good for him. I also hear Seth Rollins is well endowed.
Oh, there's pictures of that on the internet.
I don't need to see him. I'll just take, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, from your experience,
who are we looking for names? What are we looking for?
I mean, yeah, who's the biggest
hoot
in all the land?
God, you know, Scorpio. There's, of course, Scorpio.
Scorpio Sky.
Yeah.
All right.
No. Well, maybe that's Scorpio Sky, too. I was going to say Flash Funk Scorpio is a legendary one.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Shelton Benjamin is a legendary one. We often talk about that on the podcast.
Why are you guys looking at me? His question.
Yeah, well, you know. Your topic.
Your face lit up, though. That's
hard as a rock right now, but, like, that's completely irrelevant. When I mentioned Czech Congo to Barnett, he was like, almost flew through that window.
TJP,
really? Yeah. That's a shocker because he's a kind of a smaller guy.
Right. I remember hearing a story that it was New Japan locker room. This is like 2003-04 or something like that, 5 maybe. It was Scorpio, maybe Shelton Benjamin, and then TJP.
Shit. Yeah,
I heard that.
Well, there you go.
Well, I know what I'm Googling when I go.
Well, hey, man, Rock, thanks so much for coming out to the store. You know, it's I've known you now for a couple of years, and it's a pleasure just to sit down and chat with you, man, because you're so busy. Like we said earlier, you're so busy, it's hard to get you down, but you're here, and thank you. Where can people find you? Where do people get the Talking Shop podcast, all that?
Yeah, Talking Shop podcast, you know, wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple and Spotify and all that stuff. You can find me at Azuka Rock, AZUCARROC on Twitter and Instagram. Check out New Japan World and jpwworld.com for New Japan Strong and all of your New Japan needs. And FightTV.com or Fight.TV, I should say, is where you can find the Talking Shop of Manias that we talked about and also the New Japan iPay-per-views.
And you also have a Patreon for the Talking Shop where you guys do a cool thing. You guys actually bring in the fans that are part of the Patreon for,
right.
For
yeah.
Chat.
Yeah, you can be on there if you'd like. Yeah.
What do you think? When do we tape?
Patreon.com/ Talking Shop. Check it out. It's a really fun experience. We do watch-alongs and stuff like that. Get everybody together on Zoom. Get super drunk. It's a lot of fun, yeah.
Oh, we're not doing it on Zoom.
Where are we doing it?
Go to your house. You can kick my ass.
That's
so
we got to make that like a $2,000 level at least. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. $2,000.
Trust me, I'll bring in some dollars.
It just has Jericho.
Jericho's a fan of mine.
Yeah.
I gave him some thoughts. Can I ask one more question? I know we got to. We spoke about Cody leaving, you know, rumors of, you know, where Bray will end up. How does that affect the locker room? Like when you know a guy's either coming in or when like Cody leaves, does it depress the locker room or does it kind of give it some excitement?
Yeah, I think probably mixed, you know. A lot of people might be like, oh, shit, this is really bad, you know, like, this is not a good move. And then a lot of people are like, oh, great, like, now a spot's opening up, you know, in the right. higher part of the card. So I think it probably affects everybody differently. It's probably, you know, whether you have a relationship with that person or not probably really is what affects it. But there could also be a lot of excitement of, like, well, you know, since that person's out, what's going to happen next? Right. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
I should have asked that question 25 minutes ago. You guys had me thinking about,
I don't know, some guy's dick.
like, what is it? I thought I was the wild card on this podcast.
Yeah, sorry, bud.
Not just anybody's dick. Not just anybody's dick.
He's supposed to be like the straight guy, and I'm supposed to be like the Bobby Heenan, you know, zingers, and now I'm going to go home.
I was trying to log it up for you.
Stepping all over your toes. Yeah.
Shelton Benjamin's dick. I haven't Googled Shelton Benjamin and since I Googled Norman Smiley.
Hey, he just got a match on Raw, I think.
I'm sure he did. The Pat Patterson book it.
All right, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much.
Well, that about does it for us today here at the Comedy Store Wrestling Show. Earl, where can they find you?
I am everywhere under one name. I keep it simple, stupid. It's at Earl Skakel, E-A-R-L-S-K-A-K-E-L. Even on TikTok, I'm like the oldest guy on TikTok. And, of course, if you like wrestling, I have some interviews on Inappropriate Earl, my own podcast with Chavo Guerrero, Roddy Piper, Virgil talking about how big his dick is. And, you know, but listen to this one first and then go to that.
That's right. That's right. And you can find me at RRBG Podcast, where I have another show where I talk to a bunch of comedians, wrestlers, actors, musicians, all kinds of people. Yeah, go there, follow me there, and, you know, follow the Comedy Store Records Instagram for all updates on the show for now. Email us at comedystorewrestling@gmail.com, any suggestions you may have for the show. And thank you very much to the Comedy Store for having us here. Too sweet, everyone.
And no dick pics. Send them to John@comedystorerecords.org.